Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, Pastor Aaron, for the wonderful introduction. Thank you. Can I pray so we can get started? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, Lord, for who you are and all that you do, Lord, in each one of our lives. God, Lord, I just pray this morning, God, Lord, that you will bless our time together, God. Lord, you're already here, God. Lord, we don't have to invite you in, God. Lord, you're already dwelling, Lord. Lord, within this place and within our hearts, God. Lord, we just pray, God, Lord, that the words, God, Lord, that come out of my mouth, God, Lord, that they will bring you glory, God, Lord. And, Lord, they'll bring edification, God, Lord, to each one of us, God, Lord, and hope, God, Lord, to each one of our lives, God. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will bless this time, God. Lord, that you'll cover us, God. Lord, that you will help us, Lord. And Lord, and you meet each one of us at our point of need, God. I pray, Lord, that you bless each person here, God, Lord, and every family that's represented in this place, God, Lord. Meet us all, Lord, right where we're at, God, and help us, Lord, to get where you want us to go. And we thank you, God, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen, amen. Amen. Good morning again. Good morning. First, I want to thank God for who he is and for the opportunity that he has given me to share with you this morning. And thank you, Pastor Aaron, for inviting me. And it's an honor to speak at Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch this morning. Thank you. Thank you all for allowing me to come up here today. I am a interactive if person. It used to be when, you know, I'm on a time limit, but I would say if I get an amen, I can be done in about 35 minutes. But if y'all quiet, I can be up here for about an hour and a half. So it's up to you. As was mentioned earlier, my name is Derek Burton. I am a devoted husband to my amazing wife, Yolanda. I'm a proud father and stepfather of 5 wonderful adult children and a loving grandfather to 5 adorable grandchildren. Pastor Aaron asked me to share my testimony with you and let you know about the Orange County Rescue Mission. And I ask that y'all please pray for me as I share my journey of God's love, faithfulness, goodness, his grace, and his mercy. Thank you. The man that you see today is a very different man than the one I'm about to tell you about. There was a time in my life that life was not important to me. But in order for you to understand what I mean, I need to take you back to where it started. At a very young age, I went through some difficult times in my life that caused me to store up some resentment, which led to anger, rebellion, and retaliation. I grew up with my sister in a single parent household. My sister was 5 years older than me. She stayed with different family members throughout her childhood, and I was left home, and she left home as soon as she could. So basically, I was home, you know, it was just me and my mom. I did not know who my father was, but there was a guy that she was with that loved me. His name was Eddie. I want y'all to remember that name, Eddie. Eddie cared for me, and he treated me like his son, and I looked at him like a father. You know, there was times when he would just talk, and he would just spend time with me, go to the park. And, you know, I remember Eddie had this big, it was a green, long green car. It had 2 tails at the top of it. I don't know what kind of car it was, but I just know it was big, and it was green, and it had 2 tails at the top of it. And I used to look forward, because every day I used to come home from school, this car used to be parked in front of the house. And I was excited when I saw the car, because when I got to the top of the stairs every day, Eddie was right there, and he would give me some change so I could run to the store and get me some candy. You know, Eddie, he was my guy, and you know, he would just spend time with me, and I know that he cared for me. And it wasn't about the change. It was only, you know, back in that time, you know, it was 10, 15, 20 cent or a quarter, whatever it was, but just the time where he was paying attention to me. Does that make sense? Amen. Come on, y'all. All right. Pastor Aaron, I might have to go over time here. Okay. You know, and one time I remember we went to the store and I saw a boomerang in the store and I was begging, can I have that boomerang? Can I? No, you can't. We can't afford that. And okay, I left it alone. And then I remember one day when I came home from school and instead of Eddie giving me the quarter, he handed me this little package. And what was in the package? It was the little boomerang that I was asking for. And then he took me to the park, and neither one of us knew how to do the thing, but you know, just Eddie just being there with me and you know, us trying to figure this thing out. It was fun. You know, and then I wanted me a puppy. We couldn't afford a puppy. We couldn't have nothing like that. That was just one more mouth to feed. So, you know, I wanted it. I asked for it, but I was, it was a, you know, volunteer that I would get a puppy. You know, but then one Christmas, I was, after we was opening up our couple of gifts that we had, Eddie called me in the kitchen. And I saw that he had a bag, and he sat me down. He was just talking with me and letting me know, like, hey, you know, I see that you, I know that you wanted you a puppy, and I know that your mom said that we couldn't afford it, but, you know, I know that you wanted this. So, you know, I spent the money, and he gave me a puppy. You know, he gave me a puppy, and that was my puppy. You know, and I named the puppy Penny, and Penny grew up with me, and you know, me and Penny, we were really close, and it was really good. And one day, I came home, and the green car wasn't there. I came home one day, and you know, and I looked, and I even looked up and down the street, thinking that he might have parked somewhere else, and the car wasn't there. And I went into the house and I was asking my mother, like, and my grandmother was there at the time. I remember this vividly, asking, like, where's Eddie? Where's Eddie? What happened to Eddie? And, you know, I got shunned aside. I got ignored. I was neglected. I wasn't talked to. I wasn't given an explanation of that, you know, and I was just sent to my room and, you know, and basically forgotten about. And that hurt. That hurt, you know, and because of that hurt, I lost respect, you know. Forgive me when I say this, but this is how I was back then. I lost respect for my mom, and I no longer trusted her. In my young mind, she took someone away from me that was very important. I did not have a dad, and he was the only one in my life that even acted like a dad. In my young mind, I decided I was going to do what I wanted to do because she did not care about me. I rebelled at a very young age. I started drinking when I was 9. I started smoking marijuana weed when I was 12, trying everything else by the age of 14. I was totally out of control. School was not important to me, so I dropped out in the 9th grade. My mom was working 2 jobs to support the household. She would leave early in the morning and would come home about 8 o'clock at night. She found out that I dropped out of school a year after I dropped out because she was busy taking care of the household. So she gave me an ultimatum, get a job or get out. So I got a job. I started selling weed. I would help with the bills and I would pay for the groceries. She had no idea where the money was coming from until she caught me selling weed out of her house. She called the police and they came and they arrested me. I was 15 at the time. This caused more resentment. I'm not saying that I was right to think this way, but that's at the time, that's how I thought. Even though I was running the streets, I always had the dream of becoming a Marine since I was a little boy. I was able to join when I turned 18, but I did not go to boot camp until 10 months later. I served from 83 to 87. Ooh, raw. All right. Thank you. I stayed in California. I'm from New York. And I stayed in California, you know, because of the weather. My first Christmas Day, I was playing volleyball on the beach in T-shirts and shorts. I'm like, I'm staying. I became a Californian. And I've been out here ever since. I got married to my first wife in 1988, and I had my son Dominique in 1989 and my daughter Darisha in 1991. I got a great job at the Seal Beach Naval Weapons Station building missiles for the United States Navy. I thought that getting married and having kids would slow me down. It did not. I was drinking heavily, gambling, and partying. I was a provider, but I was a terrible husband and father. I provided financially. Bills was paid. Food was on the table. The kids had clothes, but I wasn't present emotionally, physically, and definitely not spiritually at the time. In Long Beach, California, I started hanging around with drug dealers and gangsters because that's what I was used to. At the time, I was only drinking, but they were selling crack cocaine. Hanging around for so long, I decided to try it. When I did, I liked it. I was able to handle it for a while until it became my world. I lost my family, my job, my cars, my house, and most importantly, my kids. I ended up homeless without anything. I could not go see my kids because I did not want them to see me in that condition. I was homeless on the streets of Long Beach for about a year. I slept in abandoned buildings, cars, and parks. I allowed something that had no emotion, no feelings. It could not walk, it could not talk or even move, but I allowed that to control my life. I left California and went back home to my mother's house, and she was living in New Jersey at the time. That lasted a while until I stole her husband's paycheck. She told me to leave. More resentment. I went to go and live with my sister and my grandmother. I love my grandma. Yeah, she was a praying woman. My grandmother was a praying woman. Besides her bed, she had a table with a Bible on it, and next to her bed was a rocking chair. I remember one day early in the morning, I was doing something I should not have been doing. And my grandmother woke up, came in the kitchen, saw what I was doing, turned around, and went right back into her room without saying a word. That scared me. I looked in on her, and she was in her rocking chair praying with a Bible in her lap. I knew that she was praying that God would get a hold of me. I was not able to stay there until I stole from my sister. My sister was my last resort. When she gave up on me, I knew that I was alone. One of the worst experiences I had was when my sister left me out in the cold and the rain. Across from my grandmother's house, there was a lot, and my sister didn't drive, but I remember she drove up. She was in the passenger window, and somebody was driving. She saw me, and I saw her. And when I saw her, I started going towards the car, thinking like, okay, she's gonna help me. But she looked at me and they drove off. That hurt, but it helped. I was in a bad place in my life. I was ready to give up. I wasn't gonna hurt myself, but I did some really dumb things, not caring if I lived through them. Going into situations with the mindset, this is a good day to die. I ended up back in Long Beach, and after many stints in county jail and 3 prison terms, I had a wake-up call. I knew God was real. I went to church when I was young, but I didn't have a relationship with God. In 1999, I was arrested in Long Beach on a sales charge, and I was facing 19 years. When I heard that, I went back to my cell, and I fell on my face. And I told God, if you get me out of this, I will do whatever you tell me to do. This time when I said it, I meant it. I said it before, but it wasn't a get out of jail free card this time. I meant it. I was serious. I did not know what God wanted me to do, but I did know that I did not want to do 19 years. That is when things began to change in my life. March 16th, 1999 was my day of deliverance. It was the last time that I drank, the last time that I smoked, the last time that I got high, and even the last time that I cussed. I was delivered and never went back, and I've never relapsed. Hallelujah. Thank you. I began to dig into the Bible, just reading. Started at Genesis, and I just read and read and read and read. I mean, and I read, not knowing how to pray, but praying to the best of my ability, doing what I thought I was supposed to do as a new believer, and God honored that. God honored that. They dropped my sales charge to a possession charge and offered me 2 years. I was guilty. I took it. I jumped on it. But my life was changing. I wanted to get right with everybody. I wanted to tell everyone that I was sorry for hurting them and disappointing them. I was able to tell everybody but two people. My grandmother passed away while I was on a long run, and I didn't make her funeral. And my mother died while I was in prison. It was during this sad time of my life that God really showed up. He came into my life and filled me with his love. It was at that time that I realized that I no longer had to chase after something to fill the void. I no longer had to try to fill the emptiness with stuff and things. I no longer had to try to fill the emptiness with irrelevant relationships. I no longer had to chase because he filled me with what I was looking for all my life, his love. That's all I was looking for all my life. And he gave it to me. When I grabbed a hold of that, I never had to go outside of Christ anymore because everything I was looking for was in Christ. Everything I was looking for was in him. So I never had to go outside of Christ again. But the love, all I needed was that love, but it was a love that man could not give me. It was a love that man could not give me. It was that love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, out of the New Living Translation. It reads, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. That's the love that Christ gave me. That's the love that Christ gives us. That's the love that we receive from the cross. That's the love that was shed on Calvary. It's that love that penetrated my life and changed my life. Amen? Amen. Even though I knew I was forgiven by God, I was loved, I was redeemed, I was bought by the precious blood of Jesus, I was saved, but I still had a past. I still had a past. In the eyes of man, I was still a convict. I was still a thief. I was still a drug user. I was still an absent father, and I was still a divorced man. God had forgiven me. My slate is clean. But whenever when I run a background, whenever somebody sees all this stuff, they look at me like, this is who you are. I'm like, God, how can I change this? What can I do, God? Because, Lord, you forgave me, and I want everyone else to forgive me. I want this world to know who I am today. So, laws changed, and I started filling out paperwork with the courts. Propositions were passed, and when I petitioned the courts, they granted me a certificate of rehabilitation. What that is my prison terms automatically went to the governor. My county time, all that got dismissed. And on December 24th, 2018, I received a full and unconditional pardon from the governor of California. That is the redeeming power of Jesus Christ. God can make all things brand new. God's love not only can save us, but completely change the direction of our life and give us a new purpose. 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of my favorite verses, said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, what? How many things? All things become brand new. If God can redeem my life, he can redeem anyone's. Don't give up. He's not finished. And I pray that this message brings you hope as you are praying for hope for you, or as you are praying for someone else. God's love is beautiful and is powerful. It has completely transformed my life, and I want to share that love with everyone. That's what I love about the Orange County Rescue Mission. Our mission statement, to minister to love of Jesus Christ. I'm gonna come back to that. To minister the love of Jesus Christ to the least, to the last, to the lowest in our community by providing guidance, counseling, education, job training, shelter, food, clothing, health care, and opportunities for independent living. We serve individuals and families and help them reach their goals so that they can get to a place of self-sufficiency. Amen? As chief ministry officer, I establish and maintain programs, train managers, teach classes and Bible studies, counsel, and I manage all 9 facilities that helps men, women, children, families, human trafficking survivors, and teens. You know, I've been with the Orange County Rescue Mission for over 17 years, and I still get excited about getting up, coming to work each and every day. You know what I mean? Because I love the work that we do there. Thank you. We do not take any government funding, state funding, county funding, or city funding, because we want to make sure that we have no restrictions when it comes to holding up the banner of Jesus Christ. We want to make sure we have no restrictions. Nothing's going to hold us back in what we do. As I stated earlier, we are to minister the love of Jesus Christ to those we are called to serve. We receive it, and then we give it. Matter of fact, Jesus commanded us to love the same way as he has loved us. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 15, verse 9. Yeah, we're going to go verse 9. It said, as the Father loved me, I has also loved you. Scripture says, abide in my love. I love that word abide because it means to remain in, to stay. To be in. So he's saying that I want you to abide, remain in my love. And he said, just as I have kept my Father's commandments. But we ought to dwell in God's love. We ought to stay in God's love. In verse 10, he said, if you keep my commandments, he said, you will abide in my love. You will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He's not saying, obey me or I'll stop loving you. His love is constant. Romans 8, 38 and 39. The Apostle Paul said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So how do we remain in God's love? Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide. You will remain in my love. Keeping his commandments, being obedient. Jesus, the commandments that God gave Moses in Deuteronomy, Jesus summed them up in 2. Can I paraphrase? Love God, love people. Love God, love people. That's what he's called us to do. Love God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love God, love people. He said, if you keep my commandments, if you love God, you love people, you will abide, remain in my love. Love for Jesus results in obedience. See, we want to be obedient when we're in love with Jesus. We want to be obedient. We want to be obedient to do what he's called us to do. My wife, she's a wonderful woman. And I love my wife. And I want to do what she asked me to do. I don't do it perfectly, but I'm intentional about it. I'm intentional about doing what she asked me to do. Why? Because I love her. I'm intentional about doing what God is asking me to do. Why? Because I love him. We should be intentional about doing what God is asking us to do. Why? Because we love him. And the Bible said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Love for Jesus results in obedience, and obedience produces a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. Obedience produces a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. True love for Jesus is demonstrated through obedience to his teachings. And in verse 11, he said, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Jesus wants us to experience his kind of joy, a deep, lasting joy that doesn't depend on circumstances. If you notice, he did not say happiness. Happiness is situational. It comes and goes based on our day, how someone made you feel, if you had a good meal, if you had a wonderful time at church, if you and your spouse are liking each other, that's happiness. You get the picture. Happiness comes and goes, but the joy of the Lord remains. The joy of the Lord doesn't go anywhere. Complete joy, not just from knowing Jesus, but from walking closely with him. Living in his love and trusting him daily, knowing God's got it. I heard a story one time about a boy that was in the garage. He was in the garage with his father, and he was playing with a little truck. And his father was doing something in the garage and working, and the son was playing with the truck, and next thing you know, the truck broke. Truck broke, it fell all to pieces, and he trying to put it back together, but he couldn't put it back together. He couldn't fix it. So he took all the pieces up, and he gathered them up, and he walked over to his father with a smile on his face, said, Daddy, fix this. And he gave it to his father. He went away, and he's just doing what he was doing. He found something else to do, and the father looked at this and like, I can't do nothing with this. So he took all of that stuff away. He threw it in the trash, went to the store, got a brand new truck just like it, took it out the box, called his son over, gave it to him, and said, here, son, his son looked like, Dad, I knew you could do it. Thanks. And that's the way we ought to be with God. All the brokenness that we have in our life and everything that we have that we can't fix that's broken, let's gather all this stuff up, give it to God and say, God, fix this. But we going about our life with the joy knowing that if we gave it to our Father, he's going to fix it. If we gave it to him, we know that everything's going to be okay. Because he gives, and that's the joy that we have that God's got it no matter what. In verse 12, and this is the key, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That is such a powerful statement to me, because when we look at how Jesus loves us, he loves us unconditionally and sacrificially. It doesn't care who we are, what we did, where we came from, the lifestyle of or the past that we had. He doesn't care. He loves us anyway. And he's saying, I want you to love everyone else the same way that I loved you. To me, that is so powerful. That causes me to look beyond someone's fault. Look beyond their lifestyle. Look beyond whatever they're going through and love them. Regardless of when we have people that come through the Orange County Rescue Mission, they have all type of different backgrounds and experiences. Our job is to look past all of that and love them the same way that Christ loved us. And I take that very personally because I know what I did. I know the life that I've led. I know the things that I've done. And he loved me through that anyway. And he's telling me, Derek, I want you to love others the same way that I loved you. That takes intention, to being intentional. Love is an action word. It is a choice that we have to make in order to love people, because when we look at people, we all do it. We put them in categories. And because we put them in categories, that's going to determine how we are with them. But Jesus said you have to look past that And you have to love them the same way that I loved you. I didn't put you in a category. I didn't wait for you to get right. I didn't wait for you to whatever. I loved you just the way you were. Just the way you are. And Jesus is telling us, I want you to love everyone the same way that I have loved you. His love is the model. Not just a feeling, but an action that puts others first. It's an action that puts others first. We have to make sure that we're loving the same way that he has loved us. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, Lord, for who you are, Lord, and all that you do, God. We thank you so much, God, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, God, Lord, and for the opportunity, God, that you have given us, Lord, to love. Lord, you give us, Lord, the opportunity, Father God, Lord, because so many people are around us, God. Lord, we get to practice this thing. Lord, we get to do what we can, God, Lord, to show your love, God, because, Lord, it's that love that transforms. It's your love, God, Lord, that helps. It's your love that saves. It's your love, God, Lord, that renews, God, Lord. It's your love that changes. So, Lord, help us, Lord, as we receive that love from Calvary, God, Lord, help us, Lord, to give that love, Lord, to each and every person, Lord, that we come alongside. Let us not, God, Lord, be thinking, God, Lord, that, you know, I don't want to do it for this person, but I'll do it for that person. Lord, that's not what your word tells us. Your word tells us, God, Lord, to love each person the same way that you have loved us. So, Lord, help us today, God. Challenge us, God. Challenge us, Lord, to, as we come across, Lord, the people, God, Lord, that we wouldn't usually partner with. Lord, challenge us, God, Lord, to love. Lord, allow that love, Lord, that you put in our heart to be given, Lord, to each other person. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. And as always, God, we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.